We're doing the Rambam in his introduction to Sefer HaMitzvot, and we're up to the Ramban in his counter-argument, in his counter-attack against the Rambam. And it's been a few months since we last visited this, so we'll remind ourselves what we're talking about. The Rambam had said that when we enumerate the 613 mitzvot, it is obvious that we cannot enumerate rabbinic mitzvot. Fair enough, so the 613 mitzvot were given to Moshe at Sinai. The Ramban explained the position of Baal Halachos Gedolos and others. He said they had a different version in the Gemara. Their Gemara said 613 mitzvot are the mitzvot of Israel. So then, conclude rabbinic mitzvot, it's just saying that's the number of mitzvot we have. Among others, the Ramban spent many pages explaining why Baal Halachos Gedolos does make sense. Now, the Rambam made a second claim against Baal Halachos Gedolos, and he said, if we were to enumerate every mitzvah drabbanon, then you'd have much more than 613. And he says, and there's an inconsistency here, which is, how come Baal Halachos Gedolos enumerated some of the mitzvos drabbanon and not others? And if the logic behind it is because we make a blessing, Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvotav V'tzivanu, so then that doesn't work, because then you should enumerate others as well, like Eruv, like saying down an Eruv and others. And the Ramban says, I don't know what the Rambam's getting so excited about, because Eruv, well, there's no reason to count Eruv, because Eruv is just an extension of the biblical prohibition of carrying. So Chazal expanded it and said you have to make an Eruv in order to carry. You can't just take every rabbinic expansion of biblical mitzvah and enumerate that. That's obvious. The idea is, here, is it a new concept or not? Reading Megillah on Purim, the whole concept of Purim is a new concept. So yes, you could enumerate that. Hanukkah, you could enumerate. Netilas Yadayim, you could enumerate. Eruv, well, you don't enumerate that. That's not a totally new concept. It's just an expansion of a concept that's already there. The intoma, and we're holding on page Yud Aleph, one line up from the bottom, in the standard Vagshal edition. And he said, basically everything stems from the same Gezerah. Everything stems in Gezeros, everything stems from the same mitzvah. He went into the whole idea of washing hands for Truma and washing hands for Chulin. The Intima. So if you'll say back to me, says the Ramban, Shira'ulim notan mitzvah, bibnei she'eruv atzmo yikare mitzvah midivrehem, that nonetheless you should enumerate all these examples as their own mitzvahs, because we find that Eruv itself is called a rabbinic mitzvah, so then why doesn't Baal Halachos Gedolos enumerate that? We do make a blessing about the commandment, about the mitzvah of putting down an Eruv, so then you'll say, according to Baal Halachos Gedolos, that should warrant counting an Eruv. And so too, the concept of washing hands, which again, the Ramban explained, it doesn't go into the count because it's all a gzeira. You'll tell me we make a blessing on Tilas Yadayim, so we should enumerate that. So then you have to understand that according to Rav Yehudaigo, and that does not make it a mitzvah that requires counting, because you don't have a commandment, there have been a commandment to make an Erev or not to make one. And this isn't a rabbinic commandment, every Jew must make an Erev. No. What the rabbi said is, don't carry unless you made an Erev. Don't carry in your courtyard without an Eruv. But there's no proactive commandment. And so according to Baal Halachos Gedolos, I wouldn't count it as its own mitzvah. V'chein. Just got to stay within the Ramban. V'chein. This side is the Ramban.
I was changing the
page. Here, yeah. Expand it to there and here. V'chein. Just got to get used to it. V'chein. So we're on the left column in the regular editions. There's no obligation technically to wash your hands. Chazal didn't say every Jew must wash his hands every day and eat bread. No. They said, you want to eat bread, wash your hands before you eat the bread. But there's no obligation. There's no proactive obligation. Every morning you've got to wash your hands. There is a proactive obligation. Every Jew must light Hanukkah candles. Every Jew must read Megillah. But there is no proactive obligation of washing hands. And if someone were to wash his hands 10 times during the day to eat bread, you wouldn't say, well, he has a bigger mitzvah than someone who ate only once during the day. Every time he fulfilled the rabbinic institution. But there's no mitzvah to eat every throughout the day to eat bread and wash.
There is even ways around it if emergency.
Right. Aval eilu heter ha'isur hin. But rather, these are situations where the rabbis imposed a prohibition and they gave us a way out of the prohibition. The rabbis said, don't eat bread without washing your hands. Don't carry in your courtyard without putting down an eruv. It's not a proactive mitzvah, but rather it's a prohibition with an out. Dome le mitzvat ha-shechita. This would be similar to the mitzvah of slaughtering shetiknu banami, that the mitzvah of shechita also has a blessing. Vetzivanu al ha-shechita. We make a blessing over shechita. Is there a mitzvah to slaughter an animal? There's no mitzvah. You want to eat meat, so then the Torah says this is how you do it. The Gemara says, wait a second, why do you make a blessing al hashchita? Why do you make a blessing lishchot, to shecht? And the Gemara answers, you don't make a blessing lishchot, because why? Do I have a mitzvah to shecht? I can't get away without shechting? I don't have any such a mitzvah. The Torah tells me you can't eat without shechting. But the Torah doesn't tell me go out there and shecht. So every time I shecht, I'm doing what they like calling in yeshivas a matir. Meaning, I have a prohibition, and I'm doing something that causes it to be permitted. This act is an act that causes permissiveness. It removes a prohibition. But it's not a proactive, go do this. The Eilu v'chayotze bahen, and these, and those that are similar to them, lava ba michlal aseh. They're really like a prohibition, that from it comes a proactive in aseh. V'ikaranu alav, and the essence here is the prohibition. Don't. The rabbi said, don't. Sh'ne'emar bahen, that the rabbi said with regard to them. Kinyan kol tzipot Torah tochelu. Like the Torah says, eat all the pure birds. So every time I eat a pure bird, I'm doing a mitzvah? No. The Torah was just meant to say, don't eat the non-pure birds. And how could the Rambam hold it against Baal Halachos Gedolos and claim that he should count this as one of the rabbinic mitzvahs? The Rambam himself doesn't count such mitzvahs in the Torah. When there's no proactive mitzvah, the Rambam doesn't count shechting an animal as a mitzvah. Because the Torah doesn't demand of you to do it. Ki en etzel ba'al halachot ba b'minyan mitzvot aseh, ela mitzvot shehen kum aseh. Rav Yudaigon, ba'al halachos gedolos, only enumerates those mitzvahs which involve a pro-action. Get up and do it. Shasiyatan mitzvah aleinu, that the rabbi said, you have a mitzvah to do the following action. Aval shehen bod mikoach sheva al taseh. But when the mitzvah really stems from the rabbi saying, don't do, then b'shvitatan mitzvah o'basiyatan einan o'basiyatan, and technically that reveals to us that if you do not do it, or you do it, there's no mitzvah involved. The rabbi's just prohibited certain things without a different action. They said, don't carry without making an eruv. Einan bo'ot lo b'cheshbon. Then Baal Halachos Gedolos would not count them. Elaim nemru balav halav shebein yimne balavin v'u lo yimne v'u lo mana shechita. The only way you could count it is as a prohibition. And you see, he didn't count the shechita. So you see, you don't count things that are there to just permit a prohibition. You might want to count the prohibition. That's a different question. But the mitzvah is not something to enumerate.
I could tell
Well, maybe the rabbis instituted a new prohibition. That's where the Ramban said they didn't. He says they only extended a biblical prohibition. They didn't invent the prohibition when they said, we don't want you to carry in your yard without an Erev. What they said was, the Torah prohibits carrying from your yard to public domain. And we are concerned that if you carry around your yard without having a clear delineation of where you're allowed to carry and where not, you might end up carrying into public domain. So we will expand the Torah's prohibition of carrying in public domain and say, don't carry in your courtyard either without an Erev. So it's not a new rabbinic prohibition. It's an expansion of a biblical prohibition. And not always, he's saying in these examples. And then the rabbi said, okay, but we want you to carry in your yard. We're just saying, do something to ensure you won't end up carrying out of it. Make an Erev. So the Rambam says, well, why don't you count Erev as a mitzvah? The Ramban says two things. First of all, Erev revolves around the prohibition, not around the pro-action. The pro-action of making Erev is just a matir. It's just to permit you the prohibition that we enacted. You'll tell me, then, why don't you count the prohibition as, enumerate that as one of the 613? Well, it's just an expansion of the biblical prohibition, which says don't carry in public domain. So you don't count an expansion of prohibition, when the rabbis just expanded a biblical prohibition. And the same he explained last time about Netilas Yadayim. Torah says, don't defile the holy foods. The rabbis expanded it and said, so don't eat truma without washing your hands. And then they expanded it to chulin. But it's all an expansion of the Torah's prohibition. Yes?
I hear what the Rambam's saying, but the Rambam also counts other biblical mitzvot that seem to be similar to what he's describing as a matir for a law. Like, for instance, maybe chasing away the mother bird is only to eat the egg, and maybe something like offering a sacrifice, something like that. I don't know exactly.
Well, maybe we have to say the other way around. That from the fact that the Rambam enumerates it, we learn it's not a matir. We learn it's a mitzvah in and of itself. Or maybe not. I'm saying that's a good question. That's a question that's discussed. Is chasing away the mother bird a matir or not? Right, it's a good question. The question is, if I really have no interest in eating those chickens, should I go chasing away the mother? I have a mitzvah. Or do I say, no, if you want to eat the chickens, right. And it would seem, like you're saying, that according to the Rambam, it's not a matir, it's a mitzvah. I should want to do it. Right. It's a good point. It's an excellent point. Yes.
So next time I see you, I have to do it.
I didn't say you have to do it. We have to see how we pass him. Aloha.
I learned it already twice and forget it again.
Have you ever done that mitzvah?
Batshuva Shlishit. And the Rambam's fourth claim, and again, Nachmanides begins with his poetry, Libi Elea Ashit, I will place my heart to address that too. Vine Genvata Ruach Kadim Charishit, and behold, a strong easterly wind took hold of it. Amar Rav Zatzal. The rabbi said, he's talking about Maimonides, Vapliya Gdola, what I really wonder about him, Le'eze Inyan Manu Mitzvot Asei Shen Midrabanan, V'lo Manu Kmo Chen Mitzvot Lo Asei Shen Midrabanan. How come, says the Rambam, how come they only counted the mitzvot asei that are rabbinic and not the lo asei? Ukmo shemanu b'mitzvot asei mikra megillah v'ner chanukah umeh brachot v'alel. And just as they enumerated reading Megillah, lighting Hanukkah candles, making 100 blessings a day, reading the Hallel, if they're going to enumerate the mitzvot asei that are rabbinic, haya lehem limnot kmo chen b'chlal lo asei, they should have also counted in the prohibitions. Achat ve'esrim shniyot, v'achat ve'esrim lo asei. The rabbis extended the Torah's prohibition of arayos, where the Torah prohibited certain women. The rabbis extended it one more generation. And that's what's called shnios. And achos chalutza, and the sister of the woman he did chalitza with. Technically, the woman, if a woman is a widow without kids, then her brother-in-law has to do yibum to marry her, or chalitza. What about her sister? Biblically, he's allowed to marry her sister after he did chalitza. The rabbi said not. So why don't they enumerate all these, for example, says the Rambam, as their own prohibitions? Wherever the rabbis expanded the Torah's prohibitions, like in expanding the women that were prohibited from marrying, expanding the relations that are prohibited, why don't you count all of those? So says the Ramban, V'dat ba'al halachot dolot bazeh, lo nifleti v'lo rechokai. He says, Rabbi Yudai Gaon's opinion in this isn't extraordinary. It's not something far-fetched. Shekol gzera shegazru chachmim nasot siag la-Torah, that whenever the rabbis made a decree as a fencing for the Torah, de-lo ligah b'yisura d'oraita, in order to ensure that we won't come to touch upon biblical prohibition, eina ba'a b'cheshbon hazeh, that doesn't come into this count. Kinyan sha'a shishit b'chametz, just like the sixth hour when it comes to eating chametz, d'avdu rabbanan achaka yetera, k'echid lo ligah b'yisura d'oraita, that the rabbis expanded, they distanced us some more. They said, we don't want you to touch the biblical prohibition. So the Torah says you can't eat chametz from the seventh hour. The rabbi said, well, who's going to know exactly when is noontime? So we're going to tell you, go an hour back. We're going to make it prohibited an hour earlier. So what are you going to say? That's a new rabbinic mitzvah? It's not. The rabbis made a fence to ensure you don't transgress. The Torah is mitzvah. Zuina mitzvah batzma. This isn't its own mitzvah. Shetehiru yalimanot. That you would say that this should to have its own count, it should count as its own mitzvah in the 613, avlu geder la mitzvah shel haTorah, but rather it is a fence for the mitzvah of the Torah. V'chelek mimena, and so it is really a part of the biblical mitzvah. V'ashniyot kulan mishum srachen, and when the rabbis prohibited one relation further, when they prohibited the shniyot, they're all because Chazal were concerned that if they leave things as is, a person might come to marry those women that the Torah prohibits. Umitam gzera asrutan, and the rabbis, when they prohibited them, it was along the same lines. It was a gzera, kmo shamru b'gmar yevamot, as the Talmud says in Yevamos, hacha ilav shniyot kapaga be'erva. The Talmud says, here is a case, if not for the fact that the rabbis prohibited one more level, a person would end up touching a woman that is biblically prohibited with. The Talmud over there questions, wait a second, this in and of itself is a gzera. Are you going to extend it some more? Rava says, aren't they all like that? You see in the Gemara's discussion, the Gemara takes for granted that all the women that were prohibited were not a new prohibition, but rather the rabbis were making a gzeira, they were making a fence to protect the Torah's prohibition. Aval mikra megillah v'ner chanukah v'halel u'mei habrachot. But the reading of the Megillah, the lighting of Hanukkah candles, the Hallel, the 100 blessings a day, v'chol shemnan ba'al halachot mitzvah b'fnei atzman, all the things that Baal Halachos Gedolos did count in his 613, they are their own mitzvah. Shenitztavinu be'en mi betin ha'gadol, that the high court commanded us, do this or do that. Ve'en be'en mishum gzera v'achakam yisur Torah. And that they have no connection to a biblical prohibition. They are not there to distance us from biblical prohibition. Ve'elu ha'shniyot gam ken lo nismichu l'lav delot asur. And when you look, for example, at the prohibition of the women that the rabbis prohibited us from marrying, those are not based on the commandment of listening to the rabbis. Shenen inyan de mishmaot haTorah, ve'en chachmim yicholim lichlol otam b'isur Torah, elehen v'chayitzem be'en nismichul mitzvot aseh u'shmartem et mishmarti. The Ramban here tells us a phenomenal concept. He says there are two sources, at least, for listening to the rabbis. One is what we know from the Gemara. The Gemara tells us that we make a blessing on Megillah, on Hanukkah, on lighting Hanukkah candles. Asher kedushanu me'mitzvah v'tzivanu l'adlik ner shel Hanukkah. Hashem, you commanded us to light Hanukkah candles. So the Gemara questions, where did God command us? It's a rabbinic commandment. So the Gemara answers, it says, lo tasu, don't stray from what the rabbis tell you. If the rabbis tell you, you have to do. So we have a mitzvah in the Torah that says don't stray from what they say, and that gives them the capacity to make their own institutions. So they instituted a mitzvah to commemorate this holiday. They said light Hanukkah candles. So far so good? Okay. Now there's another pasuk in the Torah. The Torah is called a mishmeret. The Torah is the watching of the Jewish people. Along comes the Torah and tells us, Ushmartem et mishmarti. I want you to watch my watching. I gave you watching. I gave you a Torah that watches over you. I want you to watch that Torah. Chazal say, what was the Torah telling us here in this general commandment, watch my watching? So Chazal say, the Torah was saying, you rabbis, you have a responsibility to make prohibitions, to make gzeros that will ensure that people don't transgress the word of the Torah. Totally different concept than Lo Tasul, says the Ramban. And so says the Ramban. When you come to the concept of shnios, that the Torah says these women are prohibited, and the rabbi said, yeah, but if we leave it at that, people will end up sinning. We're going to extend it one more generation. So that's not from Lo Tasul. The rabbis don't have strength to do that because the Torah says, listen to whatever they say. The rabbis have strength to do that because the Torah says, I want you to watch my watching, make gezeros. You have a responsibility to make zeros where you see fit, where you see that the words of the Torah will be transgressed. A totally different source. V'doshu sham b'masechet Yevamot, and the Talmud over there derives it and says, Asu mishmeret lemishmati, make a watching for my watching. V'ikshu hadoraitahi. So the Gemara says, wait a second, then all these women should be prohibited biblically. If the rabbis are in fulfillment of this pasuk when they tell us, you're prohibited from marrying these women, so then why aren't the women prohibited biblically? Answers the Gemara, Doraita, you're right. The Torah said that you're supposed to make a watching for the watching. Upeshua Rabbanan. And the rabbis explained it. So the Gemara then says, Kol HaTorah Nami Rabbanan Pirshua. So the Gemara says, wait a second, but the whole Torah we have based on the rabbi's interpretation of the Torah. And yet we say that doesn't take it away from being biblical. If the rabbis tell us Totofus means tefillin, no one's going to say that tefillin isn't biblical. If the rabbis are going to tell us that on Chol HaMoed, when the Torah said, don't do any work, and then the Torah says you may do work, that the Torah meant this work is prohibited and this work is permitted. So that's biblically prohibited and permitted. Answers the Gemara, you're right. Mid Rabbanan, really the rabbis, they instituted the prohibition. Vikra asmachta be'alma, and the pasuk is just in asmachta. Kmo shesamchu ashar lelav de lo tasu, nami asmachta be'alma. Just like the other things the rabbis prohibited, why aren't they biblical? It says lo tasu, because lo tasu is in asmachta. Lo tasu is a leaning. This, by the same token, this is in asmachta. So that brings us to the conclusion of the third answer. Obviously, we've only opened the topic. And if you're bothered that we haven't finished it, the concept of Shmatem Nishmati and Lotasu, you're right, I'm also bothered. But for now, we'll pause here.